the children come. Don't dare drive them away. And then the kingdom comes. Hear the holy, foolish things they say. The springtime of their life decides the adults they'll become. So let the children come. Please let the children come.
Welcome to Children's Bible Journey, with stories and songs just for kids. We have a dramatized Bible story coming up, but let's get today's program started by singing praises to our awesome God.
Singing is such a great way to praise the Lord.
We'll do some more singing in a few minutes. Now let's get back to our continuing Bible story from the Bible in Living Sound.
Centurion in the Emperor's army, reporting to Felix, the procurator of Caesarea.
Yes, Centurion.
I have a prisoner, sir. I was ordered to deliver him to you.
Sergeant, take the prisoner and lock him in our prison.
Yes, sir.
Now, Centurion, with what is the prisoner charged?
I was not told, sir. Here, however, is a letter from Claudius Lysias, the chief captain at Jerusalem.
Oh.
It will probably give you the details.
Thank you, Centurion. Dismissed. Drusilla, dear, will you read this letter from Lysias?
Are you talking to me, Felix, dear, or to your first wife?
Huh?
Oh, she was Drusilla, too, remember?
Uh-huh.
Only she was the granddaughter of Antony and Cleopatra, wealthy, socially accepted, and highly educated.
But I love you.
You don't love anyone but yourself. You are cruel, lustful, a liar, a murderer.
What?
Entirely unfit for the high office you hold here in Palestine.
No.
But I can't help but love you anyway.
Read the letter.
Yes, dear. Claudius Lysias to His Excellency, the Governor Felix. Greetings.
Greetings. He'd like to cut my throat.
The Israelites seized the man I am sending to you and were about to kill him. I learned that he is a Roman citizen, so I went with my soldiers and rescued him from the mob. I wanted to know what the Israelites were accusing him of, so I took him down to their judgment hall before the Sanhedrin. I found out that he had not done a thing for which he deserved to die or be put in prison. The accusation against him had to do with unimportant questions about their own religious laws. And when I was informed that the Israelites were making a plot to kill him, I decided to send him to you. I told his accusers to make their charges against him before you.
Yes, Centurion, have the guard bring the prisoner inside for a moment.
Yes, sir. Guard! Bring the prisoner in here.
Ah, I understand that you're a Roman citizen. From what province?
Cilicia, sir.
Well, that makes you a first-class citizen. I'll hear your case when your accusers from Jerusalem get here.
Your Highness.
Yes, lad?
I just came from Governor Felix with a message.
He sent a message? Didn't even bother to write a letter?
Oh, he told me exactly what to say, Your Highness.
Well?
I was to say, I, Felix, governor under the Emperor of Rome, do herewith notify you that upon your arrival here in Caesarea, with specific charges against a prisoner known as Paul, I shall sit in judgment upon him.
Fine, fine. Tell the governor I shall be there in a few days, as soon as I can collect the necessary papers.
Yes, Your Highness.
Members of the Sanhedrin, as chief priest, I took the liberty of assuring Governor Felix that charges against Paul would be made within a few days. Does this meet with your approval?
Yes, it certainly does.
And I've also taken the liberty of hiring the greatest orator and lawyer in the world today, Tertullus.
Tertullus?
I have acquainted Tertullus with all the facts of the case, and he is right now preparing his presentation. But I shall let Tertullus speak for himself. Tertullus?
Your Excellency, your wise and considerate leadership has brought us a long period of peace and many necessary reforms for the good of our country. We welcome this everywhere at all times and are deeply grateful to you. I do not want to take up too much of your valuable time. However, I beg you to be indulgent and kind and listen to our brief account of the crimes of this man. We accuse him of being a dangerous nuisance. He starts riots among the Israelites all over the world, and he is the leader of a party who believe in the Nazarene Jesus.
Oh, he certainly is long-winded.
He also tried to defile the temple, and we arrested him. We planned to judge him ourselves according to our laws, But the commander Lysias came in and with great violence took him from us. Then Lysias gave orders that we, his accusers, must come here before you. If you yourself will question the man, you will learn all the things we are accusing him of are true. Thank you.
Yes, they are true. They're all true.
That was an excellent presentation.
Thank you, Your Highness.
I was watching the governor's face. He was impressed. I do not see how we could lose this case, especially since Felix is in trouble with the emperor over the Israelites and is terribly anxious to get in our good graces again.
You are forgetting one thing, Your Highness. Paul, too, is an excellent orator. Well, not as good as I, of course, but good nevertheless. In view of the despotic character of Felix, anything can happen.
Scribe? That was a good speech. He knows how to flatter. But I know the motive behind it. Also, I noticed he did not prove a thing he said. He failed to substantiate a single accusation. What does he think I am? A fool?
All they want, Your Excellency, is to get you to let them take the prisoner to Jerusalem and try him in their own court.
I know. And that would be the same as sentencing him to death. They hate Paul. He's an individualist. He refuses to conform to their way of worshiping the Israelite God. And still, I do not want to offend the Israelite rulers. I have to think of myself, my future. No one else does. Well, I'll hear the prisoner's defense, then make my decision.
We'll continue the Bible story tomorrow. And if you would like to have these stories to listen to at home, you can call the Bible in Living Sound at 1-800-634-0234. That's 1-800-634-0234. Now here's some more music before we have to say goodbye.
Your lemonade.
Oh, terrific.
Yes, this is the life. A warm spring evening, sitting on the porch, hanging out with my beautiful granddaughter, Mariam.
Oh, Grandma, I'm not beautiful. I look like a sheep.
A sheep? Who told you that?
Alexei Parrish, a guy at school.
Oh, yes, Alexei. Didn't you once say he dyed his hair green?
That's him.
Then you would certainly want to value his opinion on what's beautiful and what's not.
I see what you mean. But I wish I looked different.
What would you change?
Oh, my nose, my ears, my eyes. Basically everything from the hair down.
Let me ask you a question, Mariam. All those movie stars you see in the magazines, do you like the way they look?
Sure, they're beautiful.
Then why are they always having painful and expensive operations to change the way they look? Why are they spending thousands and thousands of dollars to shorten their noses, lengthen their chins, tuck their tummies, stretch their necks, or fatten their lips? If they're so beautiful, why do they keep trying to change?
That doesn't make much sense.
What makes sense is to just sit back and be satisfied with the way God made you. Stay healthy and strong, but try to look like a movie star? That's just silly, because they don't even like the way they look. By the way, I happen to know why they go through all those operations.
You do?
Yes. Every one of them wants to look like my granddaughter, Mariam.
Oh, Grandma.
Jesus wants to be our friend. He has placed in our hearts a desire to share our deepest secrets and brightest hopes with Him. This program was brought to you by the Children's Ministries Department of the General Conference of Seventh-day Adventists.
Chosen by your name. boys and girls. This is Ms. Kathy. I'm so happy you've joined me today for another story just for you. Chapter 2, Rock Slide. I like this old winding road much better than the new freeway, Grandpa said. It takes only a little longer now that most of the traffic is on the freeway. And I really like driving through the hills and trees. This used to be the only way to get to Mill Valley from the city. Willie relaxed back against the seat of Grandpa's old car. It's been a super day, hasn't it, Grandpa? That it has, Willie. What did you like best at the county fair? I think I liked the goats best, Willie replied thoughtfully. The way they could jump straight up in the air was so funny. That's what I'm going to do when I get to heaven. Jump up and down and run and climb hills and never get tired. I really liked the cotton candy, too. I thought food would come into it somewhere, Grandpa said with a chuckle. You ate almost everything at the fair. Willie's eyes sparkled as he patted his stomach. Well, there were lots of things to try. I've never tasted anything called an elephant ear before, have you? I got sugar all over me, but it was yummy. Grandpa smiled and Willie went on. Another thing I liked was the radio booth. Did you know that Chris and I are learning the Morse code? Well, well, I used to know the Morse code a long time ago. I've forgotten most of it now. Grandpa paused a moment, looking in the rearview mirror and at the road ahead. Nobody's around. So how about this? He honked the horn one short beep and one long one. Dit-da! That's the letter A, Willie said promptly. Come on, Grandpa. I know lots of letters. Try something harder. For a while, Grandpa honked simple words slowly on the horn for Willie. Finally, Willie grew tired of the game. How about let's sing? Willie and Grandpa often sang together when they were in the car. Well, let's see. We sang most all the songs you sing in the shoebox this morning. How about some songs from when I was your age? Grandpa asked. Before long, Willie was laughing and trying to sing along to Grandpa's old songs. Look way down there, Willie, Grandpa said as he drove around a sharp curve. See that river down at the bottom of the canyon? I'll bet there's a lot of fish down there. Yeah, it looks like a zillion miles down, though. If my wheelchair started rolling down, I bet I'd break some speed records. Willie glanced into the back seat at his chair. If you started down that bank, you'd need a pilot's license, boy, Grandpa joked, because you'd certainly do some flying. Willie watched out his window as they drove along. Every new turn took them higher up the mountain. 20 minutes later, Grandpa pulled the car over and stopped. Just look at that view, Willie. We're on top of the world. It's all downhill to home now. Willie pointed to a dark spot in the distance. Is that Mill Valley? It looks so tiny. That's part of Mill Valley, Grandpa agreed. After a few more minutes of staring, Grandpa put the car in gear and started downhill. We'll be home in about an hour, just before it gets dark. Willie grinned. Good, because I'll be starved by then. Now, why doesn't that surprise me? Grandpa said, laughing. But we did eat just before we left the fairgrounds, remember? Willie just grinned and started reading the road signs out loud. Runaway truck ramp, 1/2 mile. Watch for falling rocks. And look, that one just had a picture of a deer that's flying. Deer don't fly. If you ever saw one bounding across the highway, you'd think they did, Grandpa said. Willie glanced down the deep canyon on his side of the car and then up toward the bank on Grandpa's side. A movement caught his eye. The bank looked alive. Rocks on it were rolling fast. Downhill, toward the road. Grandpa! Willie shouted as a brown cloud of dust covered the car. Dirt and rocks whirled around them like a brown blizzard. Hang on! Grandpa shouted. It's a rock slide! A huge rock crashed onto the hood of the car, smashing the windshield. More rocks and clumps of earth fell through the opening onto Willie and Grandpa. Willie gasped for air as the dust and dirt billowed up around him. He heard crashes and bangs as more rocks hit the car. The old car lurched to the right, bumped over the debris on the road, then plunged over the bank. Grandpa! Willie shouted again. Hold on, Willie! Grandpa shouted back. The car shot downward, bumping over bushes and boulders. Rocks and dirt from the road above poured past them like river water. Willie watched, horrified, as they hit a tree stump. For a split second, the car stopped and large rocks rolled past. Then it slid sideways, hit another stump, and spun around to continue its wild slide down the rugged mountainside. Willie was thrown hard against the door, then over toward Grandpa, back and forth as far as his shoulder belt allowed. Rocks slammed into the side of the car, drowning out all other noises. "Do something, Grandpa!" Willie shouted. "Dear God, help us!" Grandpa called, holding his left elbow with his right hand. "Please, Jesus!" Willie repeated. "Help us!" The car raced on down toward a grove of cedar trees near the bottom of the canyon. As the car entered the trees, the small trees and bushes slowed its speed. Suddenly, the car's front end drove right up over a tall bush and came to rest with the front bumper partway up the side of a big tree. For a minute more, Willie heard only the roar of rocks still rolling down the steep mountainside. Then everything was silent. Willie coughed and put his hand on his head. "I don't like that ride very much, Grandpa," Willie said in a small, quiet voice. When Grandpa didn't answer, Willie turned to look at him. Grandpa's head rested on the steering wheel. His eyes were closed. His left arm lay at an odd angle in his lap. His right hand hung limp, almost to the floor. "Grandpa?" Willie's throat felt tight, and he could hardly breathe. "Grandpa? Grandpa!"
The story you have heard today is a chapter of The Shoebox Kids, Book 8, The Rock Slide Rescue, written by Sandy Zaug, edited and created by Jerry D. Thomas, and used with permission from the Pacific Press Publishing Association. If you're interested in any other books published by the Seventh-day Adventist Church, please visit AdventistBookCenter.com or call 1-800-765-6955.
This podcast is a production of the Carolina Conference of the Seventh-day Adventist Church.
Let the children come. Don't dare drive them away. And then the kingdom comes. Hear the holy, foolish things they say. The springtime of their life decides the adults they'll become. So let the children come. Please let the children come.
Children's Bible Journey was brought to you by 3ABN Australia Radio and is a production of Life Talk Radio at lifetalk.net.